The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Looking for strategies to help you protect your portfolio in these uncertain times? Visit RobBlack.com. RobBlack.com, powered by EP Wealth.
Welcome in, Rob Black and Your Money, show dedicated to getting you to retirement. Although, I think it's worthy of note that getting to retirement's not what it used to be. I would call it the American dream, right? Can we all kind of agree on that? You work for 30 to 40 years, then you live off what you made for 30 to 40 years with a little help from Social Security. $100,000 income used to be the magic number that we all wanted to get to. As a child, I dreamed of, well, if only I can get a $100,000 a year salary, I'd be set. I'd be on easy street. Now, over 50% of Americans, 52% of Americans, say they would need at least $100,000 a year to feel financially comfortable, with another 26% of those saying it would be more like $150,000 to feel financially comfortable. Especially when you start breaking down the popular 50-30-20 budget guideline, where 50% of your income is spent on essential expenses, 30% for discretionary, and the remaining 20% for savings. I don't know. 56% of Americans feel behind on retirement. I get that. Let's talk about what we're seeing today on Wall Street. First and foremost, good earnings this morning out of two companies that we want to have good earnings. Bank of America and United Healthcare. They're big Dow kind of companies, Dow Jones Industrial Average, as well as big S&P 500 type of companies. We don't want just the Magnificent Seven to have great earnings. We want others. Signs of strength in the economy may mean the Fed keeps interest rates higher for longer. There's also a chance that the tensions in Iran and Israel will keep interest rates higher for longer due to the fact that oil is an inflationary pressure. The market's fallen 3%. Or more, the market has fallen 3% or more without a 3% rally in 455 times since 1953, or about once every 2 months. So, in other words, the fact that we haven't had a pullback of 3% in over 5 months was unusual. The fact that it's down 3% from its all-time highs. Since 1953, there have only been 10 other periods where the S&P 500 went longer than that just ended streak without falling 3% from a local closing high. So we're down 3 to 3.5% from all-time highs, maybe a little bit more this morning. I saw that we went kind of higher, kind of lower. Live Nation stock is tumbling today. An antitrust lawsuit may be on the way. That feels about right. California has the current highest unemployment rate in the United States at 5.3%. Experts are pointing to the fact that the minimum wage law has led to job losses. Ben and Jerry's free cone day is back today from 12 to 8 p.m. You can get a free ice cream cone at Ben and Jerry's, and you can get back in line and do it again. They're trying to give away a million scoops. Biden has canceled another $7 billion in student loan debt. So far, the Biden administration has forgiven $153 billion in debt for 4.3 million borrowers. And yet, 43 million Americans still owe $1.6 trillion on student loans. One of the bigger problems not being addressed is that college tuition fees have more than doubled over the past 20 years, and we're up 4% last year alone. Those are the basic, skinny stories of the day. United Healthcare is almost single-handedly responsible for the upside action, the Dow Jones Industrial Average. That's a stock that's been oversold. It's up 7.3% today. Johnson & Johnson topped earnings expectations, but it's modestly lower. Bank of America, for its part, is up today on better-than-expected earnings. I like Bank of America as a stock. Don't own any directly, but I do like the name. And they have a great CEO. China reported a 5.3% year-over-year growth in first quarter GDP, which was higher than expected. But that news was tempered this morning with some weaker than expected industrial production and retail sales activity for March. We saw housing starts and building permits in the U.S. They were downright weak. Total housing starts in March declined 14.7% month over month to a seasonally adjusted rate of 1.32 million. Building permits declined 4.3% month over month to a seasonally adjusted annual rate of 1.45 million. Key takeaway here is that there are no signs of relief for a supply-constrained housing market. We need more units. We need more homes. Single unit starts were down double digit in every region, except for the West, up 1.3%. Building permits, which is a leading indicator. Construction man comes over, flirts with your wife, says, I'm going to go get a permit so that we can do these manly things and make your house look all that much better. Have I had a construction worker hit on my spouse? Yes. But I digress. So building permits declined 4.3% month over month. And when you have that building permit request from City Hall, typically the construction worker or handyman or whatever he is says, I'll be back in about 3 months. I'm going to go get some supplies for the job. Once the permit is in, it still needs to be approved. So it takes a little bit of time. And that's why it's a leading indicator. There's just not a lot of conviction right now. Yesterday, we saw the 10-year Treasury really, really do a lot of work higher, yielding more. And that's kind of been a trend in the last month. And that should put the brakes on the stock market rally until that 10-year Treasury gets back down to 4.25%, 4%. Economy is too strong. Now, that's great for earnings because that's one of the things that moves the stock market. That's not low cost of money. Today, we're seeing oil kind of go sideways. It's at $85, almost $86 a barrel. The Russell's down 1%. The Nasdaq's down fractions. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up fractions. The 10-year Treasury sits at 4.65. And I had to move a chunk of cash yesterday from my Flourish money market account, and it killed me. So I had to do some tax paying yesterday, and I like my money to earn 4.65% or more, you know? I don't think that's too much to ask. Donald J. Trump's stock is down again. What do you say here? You know, it's down 5% today. It's announced that it's going to be doing a streaming network, kind of like Netflix, but for Republican news, religious channels, family-friendly content, films and documentaries. The stock was down 20% last week. It was down 18% yesterday. It's down 5% today. Trump Media shares opened at more than $70 a share and soared to $80 a share almost. Now they're down to $24 a share. That's 70% from its peak on March 26th. That's a big fall fast. Fundamentally, I don't think there's an investment here, especially when they say they're going to start a streaming network like Netflix. I don't see it because Netflix had to spend billions and billions and billions of dollars to get to that point of living. Now, if you want to own the stock, that's you. Everything's you. I'm just here to give second opinions. Think of it coming up May 9th. Wealth Preservation Retirement Planning in Palo Alto, California at the Elks Lodge, 6:30 to 8:30. It's a Thursday event with CFP Chad Burton. You can sign up today at robblackshow.com. That's robblackshow.com. I'm Rob Black.
Don't want to work forever? Check out the retirement planning guide on robblack.com. That's robblack.com, powered by EP Wealth.
I'm Rob Black, talking all things financial, money, investing, and more. Show dedicated to getting to your retirement. One of the things I want to talk about on occasion is that reliable retirement paycheck concept. We talk a lot about how Americans aren't saving enough for retirement. Saving and investing, we've got that focused, covered here, check mark. But that creating a reliable retirement paycheck is something my CFP is helping me do now. There's a lot of do's and don'ts when it comes to reliable retirement paychecks. You want to maximize your Social Security benefits by waiting as long as possible to file, if you can. you want to work a little bit longer than you were thinking to keep the cash flow coming in before it starts going out. So you can kind of understand, you know, where that teeter-totter is going to need to be for you. How will your income streams in retirement hold up against inflation? Will your money keep growing? How might a significant or lengthy market downturn affect your retirement withdrawal strategy? I know a lot of people, myself included, who have highly concentrated positions of various stocks that sometimes you think you're wealthy and then the next year you're like, oh, I'm half as wealthy as I thought I was because you're in a highly concentrated position. NVIDIA stock has gone down in the last 6 years, 60%, 50%, and 30%. So you could really see that the biggest winner in your mind right now has had some tough sledding the last 2 years. Same thing with Apple. Microsoft was not almost out of business, but it had some tough years as the Department of Justice was cracking down on the company and the company lost their focus in the early 2000s. Totally missed the cell phone. That could have been a market that had they not had the Department of Justice breathing down their throats and necks, maybe Steve Ballmer would have been such a goofball and maybe he would have seen the value of what Apple was trying to create. Don't forget there's going to be tax implications on any income decisions that you make in retirement. No one wants to see their hard-earned savings eaten up by taxes. You're planning to pull a large amount of your retirement income from a tax-deferred 401k traditional IRA. You can be looking at a burdensome tax bill every year. You should plan a setup that helps you manage your tax bracket. That's something CFPs do very well with their software. RMDs, it's kind of funny. They must start now at 73. It'll eventually be creep up to 75. But that happens faster than you think. Mandated withdrawals could help you reduce your taxes and provide more opportunities to keep the money growing. You want to pay attention to how your retirement withdrawals might affect your asset allocation. If you're got like two different types of 401ks, let's say you have a 401k that has a lot of ETFs and mutual funds in it, and you have a 401k that has individual stocks. Again, those down years where the individual stocks can be down further than the market, it creates inefficiencies for you, especially if you have to sell at a low. But you're going to have to sell at some point. RMDs do kick in if it's a retirement plan, right? Anyway, I want you thinking about your income in retirement. I think that's really important. Revocable trust versus irrevocable trusts. Revocable trusts most commonly are used because revocable trusts can avoid probate. They allow for a step-up in basis on assets to reduce or eliminate capital gains taxes. They allow both of the revocable trust makers to use their combined exemptions from estate tax. Revocable trusts provide instructions for the disposition of the assets. I have two young men, two children, two teenagers. And I am out of my mind afraid of what society is doing to them. I feel that there's a strong push. I don't want to say to ruin children, because that's totally the wrong way to say. But there's too much to bet on right now. And what I mean by that, there's situations that, like cryptocurrencies, my kids aren't going to get anywhere near a sizable asset for a while. I see their phones as casinos where they can do sports betting, crypto, meme stocks, even complex financial products like zero-day options. I'm frightened for leaving my kids too much money and allowing them to get into that gambling mentality. There's things like buy now, pay later. I hate it. The level at which gambling, though, has become normalized in the United States, it's stunning. Americans legally bet a record $120 billion on sports in 2023. That's up from $93 billion in 2022. So that was up another $30 billion almost. Since the Supreme Court struck down Federal law prohibiting sports gambling. More than 36 states have embraced it in some way, form, or the other. There's interactive gaming, online blackjack, roulette, slot machines. Free trading apps such as Robinhood have gotten young men to think high risk day trading, piling into meme stocks that have little to no value, like GameStop, AMC, or Donald Trump's a social media company. Crypto's back. And when you start hearing about it can go up to any number, that's kind of silly. Young men, I feel, are getting wooed into video games and paying $20 a month, $25 a month. That'll soon be $30 a month. The NCAA found that sports gambling was prevalent amongst young adults, specifically on college campuses and amongst Black and Latino respondents. In 2022, men and people under the age of 50 were likelier to bet on sports than women and people over 50. There's a lot of things that could ruin our children. So setting up a trust so that your assets get doled out in a responsible manner, maybe at age 25, maybe at age 35, maybe at age 45, so that even if they have a gambling addiction in their 20s, it's not all gone. I don't know. This is stuff that doesn't keep me up at night, but it's definitely in my head. Taking a look at the stock markets. A little mixed. Not much going on. The NASDAQ's barely up. It's up 5. The Dow's up 100, up a quarter of 1%. Stocks wobble as markets stay on edge with what's going on. Gold sits at $2,403 an ounce. Crude oil sits at $85, almost $86, with Iran and Israel in the headlines. You can find me online at Rob Black Show.
What's the best way to choose a financial advisor? Download our guide at robblack.com. That's robblack.com, powered by EP Wealth.
I'm Rob Black. Thanks for listening to the show. Let me know if you have anything that you want to talk about on this show. I'm up for it. Or at least I'd like to think I'm up for it. Anything you want to talk about, we can talk about. Let's keep talking. Let's keep bouncing around a little bit here and there. One of the things I like to do is do a lot of research work. And it's a little time consuming. Sometimes a little wonky, you know, it doesn't make me feel great. The probability of a 25 basis rate cut at the June meeting is now 22%. The probability of a 25 basis point rate cut at the July meeting is now 48%. The probability of 25 basis point rate cut at the September meeting is 71.4%. Probability of a 25 basis point cut at the November meeting is 36.8%, which is right smack in the elections, which means it could get kind of messy. Those probabilities don't mean a lot to me. They're called the Fed Fund Futures. And they're not terribly reliable. Question is, we know that the Federal Reserve lowered interest rates too much during the pandemic and helped create inflation. A lot of things helped create the inflation. People wearing masks, not going to work. People being given government money to stay at home. Shipping lanes out of Asia affected due to China basically shutting down with zero COVID policies. So a lot of what I'm talking about with the Federal Reserve and lowering interest rates, we know that they went too low. Now, we think they've gone too high, and that's why we expect 2 to 3 rate cuts this year. But we're looking good on the economy, jobs and earnings. Today, Bank of America and United Healthcare. That's nothing to cry about. 5 up months in the stock market without a 3.5% pullback is unheard of. It's not common. So try to take it in perspective that 2 of the 3 things are working out pretty well for us, jobs and the economy, whereas inflation, it's got some pockets of helping, but it still has some pockets of stubborn strength. This is what I do for a living, looking at odds and trying to figure out where we're going. The metaverse is coming to a school near you. The VR ambitions of Mark Zuckerberg got a little bit of color on them yesterday. They're unveiling a new educational product for students as young as 13. Bloomberg is reporting it's targeting this fall for a classroom debut. For teachers who have to beg, steal, or borrow for glue sticks, this doesn't seem realistic. That the idea that a school would throw down $500 to $3,500 for a headset seems a little out there. But the idea of getting students using Facebook's headset or Meta's headset, you get them young. When I was a small kid, this was horrible. This is going to make me feel like I'm just a jerk saying out loud. My school had drives. And you take the label off a Camel Soup, and whichever student got the most in the class won something for the class, or the class won something if they beat the other classes. And that was my thing. I think we were a soup-eating family, now that I start thinking about it, because I would rule in the soup labels, and it drove my father crazy. Because as soon as they came home from the grocery store, I'd cut the labels off, and I wouldn't label what's in the can. I didn't know. I now understand why my dad drank and had some alcoholic problems. Me! He wasn't ready to be a father. And the weight of the world weighs down men when that happens. So Meta is trying to show that the $25 billion they've spent in metaverse-related losses might still have a play. The VR and AR headsets, data suggested sales of them were way down. I picked one up because I wanted to see the technology and compare it to Apple's, and Apple's is way better. But it's also way cheaper. My kid's been playing a game called Asgard's Wrath. It's pretty funny to watch with the headset on and walking around a room. I've used it just to get used to the interface. I don't like typing with like pointing my fingers at something and pulling a trigger. I like typing on a keyboard. I know that's weird, right? So Meta's devising a specific metaverse product for schools, a subscription service for a school. Meta's offering a subscription VR services to business now, right now already, called Quest for Business. It lets companies use a handful of MetaQuest VR headsets for a subscription fee. The idea behind the educational product is that you get students in some sort of virtual version of ancient Rome. Zuckerberg emulates ancient Rome by naming his children after Roman emperors. I don't know how I feel about that. He's got a daughter named Aurelia. Tough name to remember. His first daughter is named Maxima. And I get it. Zuckerberg likes reading about emperors and ancient Rome. I get it. But back to this concept of embedding their technology in a school, it's a smart idea. It certainly worked with Apple, who we would give those soup labels to our school, and our school would get computers for a computer lab. Kind of funny to think about, right? Do you remember the days of computer labs? I don't feel like they're there anymore. I feel like every kid has a computer now on their desk. So do schools have cash to throw at VR headsets? Or is this like a private school thing? Meta Global Affairs President Nick Clegg was vague when asked about this. He used to be a politician. He gave no indication about price. Every time you have a new technology, whether it's calculator or whiteboard, he said, that becomes mainstream education over time. You've got an early adopter issue, which is that the technology tends to be more expensive at the beginning than it is at the end. I remember when calculators cost $60 to $100. That's silly to think about now, right? It's easier for schools and colleges with more means to use the technology earliest. All you can do is try to make the technology as affordable as they can. I don't know if I believe what the metaverse company is putting out there. Weird to note, one of the big stories out there today is drug shortages. From Adderall to Ozempic to cancer treatments, a record 323 drugs are in short supply during the first quarter of this year. The metric has been followed since 2001, says the number of hard-to-get drugs has surpassed the previous record high from a decade ago. not having the right medication on hand for doctors to prescribe is starting to lead to not plan A treatments, but plan B treatments. And the person who's on the line here for their well-being is the individual, right? Surging demand can lead to scarcities of drugs like Adderall. Adderall is being widely prescribed extensively on telehealth sites. There's a stock publicly traded called Hims, and you can set up a telehealth appointment and explain to them why you need that buzzy weight loss drug or something tied towards ADHD. And we all know that there's people abusing the drugs and using them off patent for things like having a sharper focus when they're studying. U.S. regulations incentivize makers of generic drugs to compete on price, diminishing the motivation for pharmaceutical companies to produce them. But injectables like Ozempic are manufactured through a heavily regulated, technically difficult process that can easily derail. The Biden administration's throwing money at the problem, $5 billion. They think this could help keep pharmacy shelves stocked. It aims to boost transparency in obscure pharmaceutical supply chains by tasking an independent organization with scoring manufacturers on their production resilience and quality. Some pretty crazy stuff. We're short 323 different drugs, from Adderall to Ozempic to cancer treatments. Adobe just this morning released an Acrobat AI, an AI assistant that can summarize documents, provide citations, and more for $4.99 a month. It also launched a free beta version for mobile devices. Adobe is one of those companies that I've always wanted to own. I've just never done it. And I don't know what else to say than that, you know? The Dow Jones Industrial Average is outperforming other markets today thanks to earnings-related gains in UnitedHealthcare and Bank of America. There's a jump in market rates response to this morning's data. Gains in some mega cap stocks are limiting downside.
One.
So strong earnings is basically telling 10-year Treasury note, you're good at 4.67%. Russell 2000 is the underperforming asset there, trading down 1% today. The price action is related to weakness in regional banks and energy-related shares in the Russell today. But UnitedHealthcare, pretty good stock, pretty good name. You can take a look at it yourself. Ticker symbol is UNH. That's UNH. 30. I have a big event coming up March 9th, about 3 weeks from now. Not March 9th, May 9th. What year am I in? 2024. It's May 9th. You can sign up for the event at Rob Black Show. It's all about wealth preservation, retirement planning with CFP Chad Burton. 6:30 to 8:30 at the Elks Lodge in Palo Alto. Sign up today at robblackshow.com.
You are listening to the Rob Black Show podcast. For more information on EP Wealth, visit robblack.com. That's robblack.com.
One area that sneaks up on you in inflation, electricity bills. They've been on a steady march higher, contributing to elevated inflation. There's a good chance that trend's going to continue. A couple weeks ago, I had on Barry Cinnamon from Cinnamon Energy. He does a lot of solar and heat pumps and tries to figure out ways to, in his mind, save the planet. And in your mind, save you some money. Electricity costs rose almost 1% in March over February and are up 5% on a year-over-year basis. That's on top of a 10% annual increase a year ago. So 2022 or 2023 up 10.2%. In the last year up 5%. In the last month up 1%. Ah, right? Is this making you crazy? It's not like the electricity is all that much better. The top input for making electricity, natural gas, it's gotten cheaper in the past 2 years, making it even more like, this is supposed to go on the other way. Natural gas generates about 42% of the U.S. electricity, the largest share of any source. Natural gas prices shot higher after Russia invaded the Ukraine in 2022, because more U.S. gas was being sent to Europe to replace Russian supplies. Prices have fallen sharply since then and now trade under $2 per million British thermal units, down from a high of $9 in 2022. So those utilities, they pass on long higher fuel costs to consumers. But the way they do so differs by state. In some states, utilities have reduced electricity prices as natural gas prices have fallen. But other utilities have continued raising electricity rates months after the gas prices have dropped. It's one of the things of inflation that just drives me crazy. About half of the average consumer bill has nothing to do with what fuel is used to generate electricity. It reflects the cost of transmission and distribution. And those prices are rising fast. Utilities are spending heavily to ramp up their transmission infrastructure as electricity demand grows because of the advent of electric vehicles and data centers that are used for artificial intelligence. A lot of spending has yet to hit the consumer bill. In Indiana, two utilities are attempting to raise rates to pay for a variety of priorities, including the cost of transitioning away from coal power to cleaner options. Duke Energy is publicly traded, is asking regulators for permission to raise residential rates by 19%, or roughly $27.63 a month for the average customer. Indiana South is asking for 16% overall increase. So it's not just California. It's everywhere in the United States. Duke Energy spokesperson said its request is in line with other major utilities, which have lately been asking for rate increases of between 10 to almost 11%. Similar rate hikes could spread throughout the country in the years ahead. It's going to get a lot worse. I don't see anything in the future that indicates price increases will slow down. And again, I think one of the shocking things in my life is when I was single, everything seemed to be under control. And then you get into a spousal relationship and you're like, oh, there's a little bit more electricity being consumed. And then you get into two kids who like to play computer games and washing their clothes and drying their clothes. Anything that uses heat is expensive. I got a $40,000 solar panel backup battery put in 3 years ago, and it's paying for itself easily, to the point that I want to cut down trees in my yard so I can get even more solar on my roof. I want to take the pool heater out so I can even put more solar on the roof. It drives me crazy to see this cost of solar and what it's doing to average Americans out there. Live Nation's in a little bit of uh-oh. Stocks tumbling today. An antitrust lawsuit may be on its way. According to the Wall Street Journal, stocks down about 7% today. It is one of those companies that is kind of like a monopoly, right? When you want to go get tickets, you're going to Live Nation or you're going to Ticketmaster, which is owned by Live Nation. Maybe you're going to StubHub, who's trying to come public soon. An antitrust lawsuit against Live Nation by the Justice Department is alleging that the company has used its dominance in the ticket selling space to undermine competition. One analyst, Matthew Harrington, rates Live Nation a buy, $130 price target. He would not be surprised if the Department of Justice suit did materialize, especially in a political year when either party is apt to posture to attract younger voters. Department of Justice declined to comment. Live Nation did not comment. Live Nation said in their website that the industry is more competitive than ever. Ticketmaster has actually lost market share since 2010 merger, not gained it. And something tells me that's not right. Live Nation merged with Ticketmaster in 2010. Under a consent decree with the Justice Department, the company isn't allowed to make venues use Ticketmaster for its events. The company has received a lot of criticism from regulators and lawmakers regarding the lack of competition. When I bought tickets to see Tosh last weekend, he just makes me laugh. He's a funny guy. Half the ticket price was in service fees. Half the bill. The initial stock reaction to a full divestiture would be negative, while something lesser, like prohibiting them from using secondary ticketing or exclusive venue deals, that would be favorable. Live Nation stock has a buy rating of between 108 and 130. It's in the low 90s right now. Do you think the Department of Justice will have the teeth to bite them? Might be a buying opportunity. If you think there's a full breakup coming, you might want to wait. With that said, most companies are worth more broken up than they are staying together. You can find me online at Rob Black Show, Twitter Rob Black Show, YouTube Rob Black Show. Thanks for listening to the show. I do appreciate it. I try to do live events for you without ticket prices. Big one coming up May 9th. Palo Alto at the Elks Lodge, 6:30 to 8:30 on a Thursday evening. Retirement planning and wealth preservation.
Visit the Rob Black Show online at robblackshow.com. Listen to archived podcasts, market updates, and information from EP Wealth certified financial planners online at robblackshow.com.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.